This is WLRN News. I'm Kate Stein. Hurricane Irma was 2 months ago, and officials are continuing to look at lessons learned from the storm. In Miami-Dade County, some of those lessons have to do with transportation. People who evacuated using the highways faced gas shortages and roads like parking lots. And preparing for the storm was equally difficult for many people in Miami-Dade who didn't have cars and stayed in the county.
What would you do if your bed? Would you make people bounce or make them not bounce?
Would I make people, if I was a bed?
Yeah.
Well, that's a great question.
Patricia Lynch is a single mom who lives in Little Havana with her 5-year-old son, Javi.
I'm used to all the things going wrong. You know, like this going wrong is part of being poor in South Florida. You're always getting, you get desensitized to that.
The Friday before Irma, 2 days before Miami-Dade felt the storm's worst effects, Lynch decided to evacuate. She'd been watching Governor Rick Scott and other officials urge evacuations.
The repetitiveness of hearing him say, like, you better get out, take it seriously, it finally kicked in. And then I called the numbers that they showed on the news.
She says she was told the nearest evacuation bus stop was 3 miles away. She says the person who answered mistakenly told her regular buses had stopped running. So she and Javi packed all their clothes and food, papers and toys in a wheeled grocery caddy.
We went down A Street and we did the whole walk. He walked the whole way too. So that was a long journey. He kept soldiering on. I kept pushing him.
It was starting to rain when they finally got to the intersection where Lynch thought the bus stop was. After 2 hours, she called 311 again and was told she had to go to an evacuation bus stop, not a regular one. They eventually found the evacuation stop. The sign had been covered over by palm fronds. It was getting dark. They kept waiting. Around 9:30 at night, a worried driver stopped and called police. Officers helped Lynch and Javi get to Miami Edison Senior High School, about 5 miles from their home. They never even got on a bus.
Had the police not come, who knows what we would have done? We would have turned around and came home.
Alice Bravo is Miami-Dade's transportation director. She says the Irma evacuation was complicated because it was the biggest in the county's history, more than 600,000 people. It required coordination between county officials, the school district, and the Red Cross.
We've all made a lot of observations and notes as to things we would improve for the future. And definitely we want a more coordinated communication structure with regard to the opening and the closing of shelters and transportation to and from.
Once people without cars finally got to a shelter, some of them discovered another transportation-related challenge. Leola Maydell lives in Little River. She was among the 65 or so people waiting outside Miami Edison on the Monday after the storm.
Were you able to get any food or any water or anything that you brought with you?
Oh, Jesus. I brought a little bit of water.
Maydell doesn't drive and couldn't take a car to get extra food before the storm. It would be hard on her to carry canned goods or a case of bottled water on the bus. At a meeting last month debriefing Irma prep and response, Commissioner Audrey Edmondson said there's a need for a lot more planning on how to help elderly people prepare for and recover from hurricanes.
I've really felt bad that I had empty hands, and to see the lines of people who actually needed these things and needed them early.
She says the county should provide meals to elderly people before the storm so they have a couple days of supplies for during and after, and aren't left to scramble when evacuation orders are announced.
One of the challenges with vulnerable populations is if they're vulnerable day to day, disasters only magnify their challenges.
Kurt Summerhoff is Miami-Dade's emergency management director. He says the county needs to look at its system for transporting elderly and disabled people who need to evacuate. Currently, people are supposed to pre-register with the county for its special transportation service to shelters that can support their medical needs.
What tends to happen when a storm comes is everybody who wasn't on the registry wants to get on the registry at the last minute.
Emergency management says about 2,200 people pre-registered for help, about the same number of people called for help at the last minute. Among them, Leola Maydell. She has arthritis and 2 surgically repaired knees. Maydell says she called 311 when she got a notice that elevators in her building were going to be shut down because of the storm. Police officers brought her to Edison. One of them gave her his number and told her to call when she was ready to leave. She did.
Yeah, but he said he was real busy, and then he said I could call around.
On the morning after the storm, Maydell and the other evacuees were sent out of the shelter at 7 a.m. It took 6 hours for buses to arrive, and people had to wait outside, although under a covered terrace. County Transportation Director Alice Bravo says the delays after the storm were caused by power outages at bus maintenance facilities and debris on the roads. Plus, time to figure out which shelters needed buses to where.
Once you're evacuating, you could be anywhere in the county. Somebody we may have picked up in Cutler Bay might end up at a high school in Doral.
Staff at the shelters organized evacuees into groups based on where they were trying to go. But when Patricia Lynch and her son Javi boarded a bus to Little Havana, they discovered the drop-off point was more than 3 miles from their apartment.
You know, if you're going to go that far and have a bus, I mean, take the people home, right, to where they actually live. How can you burden someone with all of their belongings and just walk away and say, oh, you know, we got you home?
A sympathetic staff member got the bus driver to drop Patricia and Javi closer to their apartment.
And I was so grateful. I said, okay, because that only gave me like a 4 or 5 block walk.
4 or 5 blocks is better than 3 miles, but Patricia Lynch's experience illustrates one of the chronic problems of public transit in Miami-Dade County. It's called the first mile, last mile problem, and it's when a public transit user has to walk an uncomfortable distance, often defined as more than a quarter mile, to reach the nearest transit stop. That can make it hard to, say, carry 3 days' worth of non-perishable food and bottled water home from a grocery store. Jane Gilbert is Resilience Officer for the City of Miami, which is working with the county to address chronic issues with public transportation and poverty, some of the same issues that complicated Irma prep and response.
By addressing some of these underlying stresses, we can be more resilient, more able to bounce back.
But although officials say they've learned from what went wrong during Irma, and although they say they have plans underway to address those problems, it may not be enough for people who had a bad evacuation experience. Patricia Lynch says if there's another hurricane, she may not evacuate again.
Like, you do it one time and learn, and if you do it the second time and it happens again, then it's your fault. You know, you should have learned.
That's on the minds of officials, including Commissioner Jean Monestim, who spoke at the Irma debrief meeting.
We need to be willing to learn what poor people go through on a regular basis, on a daily basis in this community.
I'm Kate Stein in Miami. This is WLRN News.